You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 92. Wow. Spoiler alert, Dark Side. And welcome to episode 92 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I'm Paul French, and today I am Cottage Kid, having just returned from braving the annual cottage trip. And I got to play the rookie dad card this year, because every time one of the guys has come up the first summer after they had a kid, that's been the guy who ends up asleep first. And that was most definitely me the last two nights, so... I actually came back very well rested.
Someone's setting off fireworks. I forget it's the next town over. It's their fireworks tonight.
Those are loud fireworks.
Yeah.
We also call that taco night. Anyway. And I am Darren Noel, and I haven't had a significant costume change in over 600 issues, and boy was everyone pissed when I came out of the dressing room, boy. So there you go.
How long did you practice that one?
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. You've been working on that one, haven't you?
I've been working on days for that one.
Oh, nice. Nice.
The alternative was I spun around and this is what happened? Anyway. Nice.
Yes,
you are. We'll talk about that later.
You are nice jacket, lad.
Nice.
Let's just say that I think the Super Show costume has been chosen. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh my!
I don't have to show off the thigh anymore. So hey.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I'm Matt Kramer, and today I am Benadryl boy because it's that time of year.
Yes, I feel you. I feel you, sir. I feel you.
Oh, sorry, Darren. Shooting your man away.
My man, Ben. I just took two of Ben a second ago. So if I doze off, it's not because of y'all.
Well, not entirely.
Not entirely, y'all. Indeed. So.
Just mostly.
And I'm Scott Coles, and tonight... I am so damn tired, lad. I spent the weekend by myself. The wife and kids went away for the weekend, and...
Well, I know why you're tired, then.
I was at a loss as to what to do.
Yeah, right.
But apparently among my list of things to do was not sleeping, so... Ah,
there you go.
You know, whenever Sarah's away, I think I spend most of my time just... playing video games, and then realize it's like two in the morning.
Exactly. You don't have the usual touchstones to think to remind you that hey, time has passed.
Hey, go to sleep. Yeah.
I'm gonna have one of those weekends in a couple of weeks. As she's going to a Hall & Oates concert.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, in Riverside, Iowa, the future birthplace of Captain Kirk.
Outstanding.
Ooh, yeah.
That's so hot. What you're that's saying awesome. Is Captain Kirk is a descendant of either Hall or Oates.
Yes.
Yes, that's exactly what you're saying.
Oh, that makes sense.
I'm totally behind that theory.
This is starting to make a lot of sense, actually.
I mean, look at the hair.
Yeah.
He's got Oates hair.
Exactly. Exactly.
And all those green chicks, their kisses are on his list. So there you go.
Well done.
Careful, she's a man-eater.
Oh!
I hate when that happens. Well,
so Darren, you had sort of alluded to Wonder Woman 600, and there's something
I sort of alluded to it.
Yeah. Oh, you were so subtle. But there is something I do want to mention in there because we do have that great story by George Perez. Well, by Gail Simone with art by George Perez and friend of the show Scott Koblish.
Woohoo!
And hey, awesome. Scott Copley.
And wow. Just wow.
Can I tell you something? I went to the comic book store the other day, say what you want to about the controversy about Diana's new costume. Mm-hmm. They were out of the issue.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Hey, nobody's talked about Wonder Woman as much as they are right now. So
so that sucker sold out. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You sold out of Wonder Woman 600?
Yet no Batman one is saying it's a
Superman
bad issue.
700 is over here? Okay, whatever.
No, and that...
I didn't get a chance to read it yet, so...
I've decided that, like, you know, as far as you know, my favorite anchor on Perez for a long time had been, well, Perez.
There's that.
But looking at you know, the stuff in Three Worlds, and then looking at this mm-hmm. Wonder Woman story, because there's like a million characters, as one would expect, and it just does a really neat. It looks very distinctive. It really brings out the Georgeness of the pencils.
Yes,
but you can still tell that it's Scott, and so yeah, I really dug that. So I just thought I'd mention it because
I was looking. I was looking forward to it. I think my issue with the whole costume thing, and of course I will admit I went Superboy Prime. So fine. I know I admit it when I do it. So I think my issue was they revealed the costume, and then there was a day that went by before they had the interview with JMS explaining
the
reason for the costume. Yeah, now that I have read the basis of the story, the costume makes complete sense to me. So,
Why she would choose to steal Superboy's costume from the 90s is beyond me.
Hey, let's move beyond that.
But when she punches people in the face, they'll end up with a W stamped on it. So
I'm not a big fan of. But
I didn't think it would be.
Of everything else, though, like her bracelets are iconic. Like why not keep the bracelets as they were?
Well, but they've changed. Right.
Everything on her costume has changed.
No. But I mean, the bracelets were different mm-hmm. over the last couple of years anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when Byrne was doing it, they became huge. They were forearm bracers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bracelets. They were like,
they covered the whole arm practically. It's like, well, if she can't deflect a bullet at this point, then, well, God, you got no chance here. So, okay, whatever.
Making it easy on her.
Exactly.
I want to see the story. Obviously, they've written it in such a way that if it tanks, it tanks, and they can just go back to
just reset. What,
reset it and move on.
Let's not kid ourselves. You know, everyone's like, oh, they've changed her costume, but it's, you know, it's not.
It'll go back.
Of course
eventually.
It will. It always
they've
does.
Changed it before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's not talk about the 90s outfit, you know, with the bike shorts.
But that's what everyone's like, oh, the only time it's changed is in the 70s. And it's like, No. So anyway.
And it's changed. It changed a couple times back in like the 40s, too, didn't it?
Yeah.
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 You know, she was wearing there have been a lot of articles about Wonder Woman's outfit recently. Small wonder, right?
So really?
I've done a lot of reading. Past couple of days, and did you know Wonder Woman's skirt? You know, in her first appearance, it's actually a skort.
Yes, yes.
It's a short with a flared bottom to make it look like a skirt. And I'm like, a skort has to be one of the largest fashion abominations onto the planet. So,
I disagree.
Is it up there with shampoo that has conditioner in it?
Oh, we're not going to talk about Pert and all that family of sinning right there. Because let me tell you something. That did you see Earlobe's hair that weekend? He looked like a little troll doll that you had squished together. You know, I mean, he had more flyaways.
That's just what
than,
it was like.
No. That was awful. That was awful.
So all welcome to Wonder Woman cast, everyone. all right.
But
so
no, we'll have to... I think we still have to give it a shot and see what it's like. So, you know,
You never know until
it's sold out. It's sold out. So you can't say sales aren't going to be rocking on it, at least for this issue. So
people are talking about it. So, you know, and if half the people who are talking about it, and certainly if half the people who are bitching about the costume actually read the book, which, hey, you never know. then it should be very successful.
Crazy talk.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I know. Talking crazy. You're talking crazy.
All right, so here we are. We are at the end of the Great Darkness Saga.
My friend.
This is the end.
So this one, first off, you got that really cool cover with that. Well, for those reading the trade, it's actually you've already seen the cover from the beginning, or kind of similar to. Yeah, yeah. So, and if you're listening to this after you got the hardcover, time travel.
Who knows?
Yeah. Then
wibbly wobbly.
Might could be different. Yeah, wibbly wobbly timey wimey. Exactly. But just that this whole concept of the Legionnaires. And note that the Superboy is on the cover. Just that idea of it with them worshiping Darkseid. Kind of cool. So we get to the first page, and one of the things I first want to draw people's attention to is dedicated to Jack Kirby. With respect and thanks, and yes, well deserved, I'd say.
Definitely.
Here, here to Jack.
Indeed, indeed. And I know this was one of the things that, and I can't remember if we mentioned this on one of the other episodes, but just in case, it bears repeating anyway. Jack Kirby's grandson had written on Paul Levitt's Facebook page about how he remembered seeing these issues in his grandfather's studio, and I think Paul thought it was pretty cool that that the king that the king had these in his studio. I think it's pretty neat.
Took a look at him. All right.
Yeah. Exactly. So, of course, this one is brought to us by Paul Levitt and Keith Giffen. And definitely co-plotting, no bones made about that. And Larry Malstead on the inks, John Costanza, who I once mixed up with Pete Costanza on the
or
show.
George Costanza?
Yes, exactly. But John Costanza is the letter. Carl Gafford is the colorist, and looks like Laurie Sutton is passing the reins as editor.
Who's this person?
Yes, to one Karen Berger. Yes.
Oh, I've never heard of Karen Berger before.
Someone who would definitely become more and more significant in the DC firmament and soon.
Very, very soon.
Because we're not that far off. It's December 1982. Won't be long before they start bringing some other writers in, like that British guy, and the other British guy. Anyway,
British guy too.
Yeah, well, Neil Gaiman as well. Yeah. All right. So, as it turns out, they're standing on a little hill that is made up of Darkseid's name. So, how could they not have known it was him? It's like everyone's like, "Wow, did we think to look at this sign?"
Doesn't take a brainiac to figure it out.
Exactly.
He wrote his name on the planet. People, come on, look.
Well, the planet is his head.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's fairly indisputable as well. But yes, the conclusion is inescapable. My friends, we face Darkseid. The epic conclusion of the Great Darkness Saga. All right, so basically, yes, they're standing around there, and Dawnstar's trying to figure out, why is it that you can put a name to the Master of Darkness, and why do you sound as though you expect us to know it? She's like, I haven't read those back issues. I haven't read any of the Fourth World stuff. I've got the Omnibus. Haven't got to it yet.
Paul, this is before trades now. Come on.
Yeah.
Darren, this is in the 30th century. Trades have been around for well over 1,000 years.
Way after trades.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
She downloaded it. Hasn't had a chance to read it yet. Okay?
Exactly.
Downloaded it directly to her brain.
Exactly. Yes. It's in her little tiara, her headband thing. Right? So
is that what's in there?
Her two tiara pile.
So he says, the clues are all around us, Dawnstar. This planet has to be Apocalypse. Look around you. The ruins, the horrors, all combined with machines that could stagger Mon-El. And if Apocalypse is real, not a 20th century legend, then that explains everything. And I love that idea that to them it's like a myth, right? Mm-hmm. Because he's saying that there's no evidence in history since the 20th century to support the contention that it ever existed. And now, at this point, I don't think the Hunger Dogs had come out yet. I think that was
correct.
A few years
that
later.
Was 85 or 86.
So Kirby had actually yet to finish his story.
The New Gods thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So Anyway, so he explains it, and he talks a bit about the servants and their fear of her powers of darkness, which is, of course, the trademark of their master. And the idea of, you know, he is evil incarnate, and if the legends are accurate, he has the power of a god. Not the power of a god, he is a god.
Uh-huh.
I think that's
new
a
new god. Yeah.
Indeed. So, yes, so on the ship, they're wondering if Brainy's wrong, and I love this. Shock right away is he's been wrong before. I know I've only been with the team 5 minutes, but dude.
I know that.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, he had a pretty major exposure to him being wrong.
Exactly. So, they talk a little bit about this, and Sunboy says, let's show him he can't scare the 30th century. And Dreamgirl says, we were frightened of him before we knew who he was. Unfortunately, there's more reason for fear now. So she sounds the general alarm.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Haven't seen that before.
Exactly. Uh-oh. And so we land in Sub's headquarters. Yay. And
Subs who had not been seen in ages.
Exactly. And yes, today is the day we put the substitute heroes on the map. Yes, because it's all about you guys, right? Note that that Chlorophyll Kid has not yet had his metabolism issues.
No, he's still
pretty buff.
Yeah, quite trim here.
Yep. Supergirl says that she hasn't gotten a Legion alarm since she resigned years ago. So I wonder what could be so terrible that they call me. And the reference is that she actually resigned in, of course, Superboy in the Legion 204.
Yeah.
It's been 90 issues since she's been back.
Looking at her costume, with the little S shield on her chest, it looks a lot like Mon-El's costume, his altered costume.
Yeah, very much so.
This is before she got the headband.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So.
Yeah, so this would be like right around the beginning of the Infantino Oskner series.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Okay. So then we land out in space and we see just destruction, lots of crackle, lots of misspellings of
Ka-choom, planet. Take a drink.
Yeah.
Oh, Wathoom, take a drink.
Indeed.
Oh, wow. We're going to be drunk tonight, peeps. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. We see some Thanagarians getting their butts kicked.
Well, that's tradition now, so.
Take that, Hawk posers.
And the whole idea is that the Science Police's arsenal of weapons designed to handle the inhabitants of 100 different worlds are powerless against people as invulnerable as Superboy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go out and we see these guys. Is this the Wanderers here?
No, this is the first group we get to is Dev M.
Oh, so it's more Daxamites then. It's more Daxamites.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
sorry.
Daxamites.
Okay, yeah. I know, yeah, because I know we see the Wanderers at some point in here.
Yep, they're coming.
All right, so yeah, we've got Dev M fighting the Daxamites, and they get pulled away by chunks of wreckage.
Oh, yeah.
And it's Evolvolad of the Heroes of Lalor, of course, and mm-hmm. Life Lass is using her powers to animate the wreckage in his defense. And so they send Duplicate Boy down to pick him up. We haven't seen him in a while either.
Mm, yes. Duplicate Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Not since the ugliness.
Yeah. Mm. Well, yeah. And
then there's Gas Girl.
Oof.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. So they bring Dev M in and they explain what's going on. They say, we're kind of hiding, but, you know, we knew of your powers as a survivor of Krypton and needed them on our side. And it's been a long time since we've seen Dev M as well, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Have we seen him since he first appeared?
I don't recall.
I don't think we do.
I wonder if that's what they're saying here, is that basically for the whole story, pick up Adventure 320, because that's the last time we saw him.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, I didn't know that there were that many superpowered humans alive. And he said, well, things are messy.
things are really messy right now.
And so we see the Subs in battle.
Beautiful splash page.
Yeah, this is around when the Stalker got rid of her beehive, and don't worry, it'll come back. Yeah. And so they're taking out some Daxamites, and Color Kid is showing them the rainbow. And
taste the rainbow, bitches.
And Polar Boy seems to be kicking some butt. And poor Fire Lad. Just remember, boss, we're the Substitute Legion, not the Suicide Legion.
Suicide? What?
Oh. What the? Hey, you know what? Someone should totally do. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Moving on.
Yeah, perhaps the best. Okay, so Lalor, of course, is not part of the UP, but they feel, but as old friends of the Legion, they feel obliged to pitch in no matter what the risk. And so Dev-Em and the heroes of Lalor make their way through, and they see the Wanderers. There we go. All right, so
there's
we
Quantum Queen.
Yep.
And let's see.
Celebrand.
And Ornitho, and that's Psyche next to him, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, see, I can hardly remember because I so
I
much
can't
of my
remember their old names.
Yeah, yeah, that's my issue too. I never know their old names.
Yeah, so
and I think that's Elvar and Dartalg in the next panel. So
he's not reanimated. So who the hell
is?
Yeah, I don't know which one is reanimated here. So, well, okay, Sarah.
There we go. All right. So, yes, much Kirby Crackle flying around, and we land back. On the ship, on the Legion cruiser, and they're talking about just the tactics, about what do we need to do? Well, we need to take the war to Darkseid, invade Daxam, and destroy his power somehow.
Yeah.
And Lightlass is saying, you know, Block, when I joined the Legion, it was much simpler. Right. And I think this conversation that they have is pretty key to what's going to happen in the next little while, even outside of this story. And again, he's planting little seeds in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she says, you know, we caught a crook here, stopped a war there, and the most fantastic foe we had was the Time Trapper. I'd give a lot to go back to those days. Of course, this is before the Time Trapper really became hardcore. But Block says, hey, there's no turning back, not for any of us. But Lightlass really wants to know, why is it we're guarding this child, you know, and why is it this child is aging so much? And she says, and he doesn't say or do anything. He doesn't even cry. And Block says, should a human child do that, Lightlass? And she says, constantly. So monitors go dead. It gets all dark in there. And they're worried they're worried that life support systems will be down soon as well. That would be a problem, and so she said, she asked Mysa to check on the child and the others, and a little space warp shows up in the middle of the ship, and one of the servants starts making his way out. This looks like it's the Orion servant. Mm-hmm. And he makes his way out, and some boy basically, he's decided, you know, I know you guys are a bit scared of dark, but you might be scared of this too. And he brings some sun on him. And yes, only in oblivion may you escape the master.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so he ends up, you see just a mass of Daxamites there, and that's pretty spooky. And he says, cover the whole ship of the fools, and on my signal, render it asunder. And so around they go to destroy the ship, and so everybody gets sort of blown out of the ship, and they take the child. It's a present for my master from his most loyal servant.
Dope.
Yes. So,
meanwhile, the Legionnaires are floating in airless space.
It's not good. It's not good. But they got their transuits.
True.
Onto Takran Galtos, and we have a little Daxamite wandering through, and the astute will remember that we've
see
him again. Yeah, because when we did An Eye for an Eye, he showed up there. And he's looking for the Durlan. Yes, that's right. He's looking for Chameleon Boy, who still has, of course, his little antennae cuffs.
Bummer.
And it turns out that the kids looked at him twice, but he doesn't know how to control his X-ray vision, so he must be seeing right through him, literally. And he said, so funny, my shape-changing powers are neutralized by these antenna bindings, and I'm a better chameleon than ever, by accident. But, you know, he knows he can't count on that luck to last, so he's looking for something. And that's when the little Daxamite boy does hear him and goes after him. But it's okay, because as it turns out, Chameleon Boy has been taking lessons from Karate Kid.
Yeah. So he
learned himself a little judo.
All right.
And does the judo chop, chop. Exactly. And manages to push him through into another cell. Not just any cell. No. It's the cell that Validus is in. Yes. Oops. So
and Validus hates interruptions.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
He was taking a nap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And so he says, if Validus can't keep that kid busy, no one can. And and then he passes out because apparently very, very hot.
Mm-hmm. Hot flashes, uh-oh.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, so White Witch seems to be the only one who isn't unconscious, and she is holding together what's left of the ship's atmosphere to keep them safe from the cold and radiation. I guess maybe the transudes weren't on. So basically, yes, she's saying, you know, the teachers had sort of said to always have this sort of survival spell ready, at the ready, and that it was an effective all-purpose safeguard worth keeping constantly ready. Because there's something important. She basically, you know, outlines what her powers are and talks about how the idea of it is that it's not that you can do anything anytime, because there's preparation that is important with, you know, they're in proportion to the will of the person casting the spell, but there's also different things you got to prepare for it. And she says, attempt a great working without consulting the omens and readying the talismans, and you doom yourself. And
doom.
Exactly. And she says, worse still, commit more than a mere handful of spells to memory at a time, and you shall forget them all. Research, child, each and every time. All right, so
or just absorb everything from Wardrobe.
Well, exactly, exactly. And then you get a better wardrobe, too. So yes, she's holding this power in. So they're all safe for now. And then I guess she blacks out, and she wakes up to see Saturn Girl, Duo Damsel, Bouncing Boy, and Cosmic Boy have her, and they say, we picked them all up with you when we got your signal. And it turns out she had basically, she figured her need to save them must have tapped reserves of power she didn't know she had, so they managed to get in touch. And she talks about, I'd like to be able to help when you find Darkseid. And she said, we want you to duplicate Darkseid's space warp and lead us straight to him before he has a chance to kill that child. So, she's kind of shocked, but she's basically, hey, you know, we knew that you needed some stuff, and I grabbed it from your mind because, you know, basically there's no time to waste.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, things are doing, so let's go.
Exactly. And so she thanks the Legionnaires for their trust and makes her way to get this whole space warp going, and kaboom. Take a drink.
Now that's a boom tube.
That's a boom tube.
Exactly.
A kaboom tube.
And then we get this really cool splash page close up on Darkseid's face with the little shambling mockery next to him. And yes, he refers to him as his son, so yeah, we know it's Orion. And he says, appears I should have sent you after the wench again and not excused your failure. She has more power than I sensed, or is gathering it from some source I dare not ignore. Have the slaves slay the child you brought me, for I may not wait to study him at my leisure. And, of course, he says, as you wish, Great Darkseid, so shall it be done. He says, of course, there is no other possibility.
Hmm. Yeah, duh.
All right, so we're back on the on Earth in Legion HQ, and it turns out that Colossal Boy was trying to get some gear out of a detention center, and 2 seconds later, he's halfway down the tube to Science Police headquarters, holding on for dear life. And But Violet's with him. She shrunk down to microscopic size and grabbed onto his costume when the bolts of darkness hit. It turns out that the old the Lydia Malor servant of darkness has woken up again. And so she says, "You shall not survive in my path. You know, I've got to get to the master, and you're in my way." And he said, "Legionnaires caught you, lady, and what we catch, we keep. Your boss will have to find a new toady." But she zaps
five
him
across the eyes. Wham.
Yeah, exactly. Wham. Exactly. So Violet shrinks down to submicroscopic size and manages to slip into her body at the size of a microbe. And so she basically gets in to block what passes for the servant's bloodstream and cut off all circulation to the brain, as long as she doesn't freeze to death first. The idea being that this will cause the equivalent of a stroke, and she says, you know, that is if I've figured out this weird physiology. And it finally works, and she flies out through the eyes and says, "Phew, not a second too soon."
Mm-hmm.
And back on Daxam.
It's full tilt boogie.
Woo-hoo. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it really is. And
go, Chuck.
Chuck's bouncing away. You got Wildfire doing some zapping. You got Ultra Boy beating up Bozos. And Saturn Girl is, you know, making them think bad things. And Lightning Lad is zapping them. You know, lot going on there.
Hey, you left out the Queen. Come on now.
Yep. I'm sorry?
Quantum Queen. Projectra.
Oh, yes.
That's Projectra. Oh, yeah, that's Projectra.
In one of her many new Keith Giffen costume design changes.
Yes, that's right.
She looks kind of Shining Knight-ish there, doesn't she?
She does.
Yep. Yeah, a little bit. And Shady and Lightlass fly over and find the kid. And he's just kind of sitting there. The guards are out cold. And they're still guessing that somehow this kid is going to be the key to defeating Darkseid.
Yeah.
So, Mice is sitting there watching from a distance. And something happens. Something happens where we get a new voice that says... And she says, I'm not even sure where I got the strength to pull off to pull it off the first time, you know, her big spell. And this voice comes in and says, "I gave it to you, my child, as your teachers asked when they summoned me to oppose the darkness with the light. And now I must give you strength again, even more than before. I'm sorry to use you this way, my child, but the pain shall be over quickly, and your comrades shall have the chance they desire."
Oh.
Darkseid realizes this, and he's like, "No."
And of course,
meanwhile, Saturday Morning Starcade.
Yeah.
Yay,
Saturday Morning Starcade.
Pandemonium.
So there was Pandemonium, of course, the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner show, Meatballs and Spaghetti. I don't remember any of these, to be honest with you. I remember Gilligan's Planet vaguely.
Yeah.
I love Pandemonium.
Cool. Yeah, I've never heard of that one.
Hmm.
Neat.
This was prime cartoon watching for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, you know, I should have, because I remember Black Star.
Oh, Black Star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Meatballs and Spaghetti, not a clue. Interesting. And I'm not
Fat
sure.
Fat Albert.
Oh, was that where they had like the Brown Hornet on it more often?
Yes.
Okay. I do remember that as well. All right, then. So, we land back. We're back on Daxam, and Cosmic Boy and Star Boy are kind of double teaming the one guy, and they take him out. That sounded wrong. all right, but then they finally get the smart idea, right? Hey, I got an idea. You can change elements. How about y'all change how much lead is in the atmosphere?
Kill them all.
Yeah, screw those Daxamites.
That lead poisoning thing, it's kind of a hinky thing. It comes and it goes, you know.
Yes, he said. Well, he did say one part lead per thousand, so perhaps it's
But for Mon-El, it was even it seemed like it was the slightest amount.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think it's over. It's under that mattress.
They probably won't die right away, so they'll have time to administer the cure once they got Darkseid.
They'll just have years and years of suffering.
Yeah.
Or that.
Yeah. It looks like Timberwolf's costume is much worse for the wear.
Yeah, it's time for a new costume for him. So, you know.
He doesn't need it.
So all of a sudden there's this whole thing where basically White Witch casts this spell that basically is to undo Darkseid's transferal, where he switched Daxam's place with
Apocalypse.
And so she's able to switch the people from world to world, but not the worlds as well. And so Darkseid decides, hey, he's gonna basically introduce a lot of these legionnaires to their worst fears. And for Garth, it's that his arm is gone again.
Oh no!
Take a drink. Kaboom! As Wildfire's containment suit is exploded, and he is dissipated into Quanta, never to be reformed. So they say. Duo Damsel is forced to watch her other body die again.
Solo sister, woohoo!
And of course, Bouncing Boy, you know, he's lost his power on occasion, and he gives him the old curb stomp here.
Yeah.
Down he goes, plant. Face first. Ouch.
Yeah.
And he says that Dream Girl is the easiest of all, as her beauty fades to nightmare.
Eek.
And they make
she still keeps the Pharah hair.
Yep. Yes, she does still have the Pharah hair. The mole is gone. The mole's still there. It's just slipped down her chin a little ways. Ultra Boy is facing the space whale again and is swallowed by the whale. And and here's the big fear for Timberwolf is his humanity taken for him. Right?
Snaked.
Yes. We're going to make your skeleton laced with adamantium. Yeah, so his fear is the loss of his humanity. And it's interesting because we kind of get this. This is the dichotomy of Timberwolf, right? Is the idea of him being thinking he was an android that is actually a person. But then, of course, later we would get the idea of him, his animalistic nature. Right. And so it's, there's kind of an interesting dichotomy with Bryn. Yes, he's got the robot leg. And of course, for Saturn Girl, the terrors of all the others within your all too open mind. She can't shut any of it out. And it makes her open her mouth bigger than anything. Honestly, she rivals the space whale.
She could swallow Ultra Boy whole herself.
Oh, my.
Hey, now. All right. And as far as the servants considered, they're defeated, Master. And he says, of course, they always were.
So he took out 8 Legionnaires in 8 panels.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, seriously. So he flies through another portal, and they take out Lightlass with a zap. And
beautiful spread.
Oh. It is a beautiful double page spread. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's this is the God created Adam.
Yep.
Yes, that's right.
The creation of man.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's significant. Totally. I mean, there's a few of these references that he did. And
there was the Last Supper a couple issues ago.
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I actually love the way they colored Shady's powers here, where it's dark on the outside and kind of gray on the inside. That's really a nice touch. So
yeah, again, it's that idea of Giffen using a lot of techniques that were pretty groundbreaking at the time. You know, Zippitone had been in heavy use for many years, and that's kind of what he's got going on in the middle here. So Zippitone was pretty common, you know, and the stuff with that, you know, back in that day, you know, it wasn't a Photoshop filter; they were literally cutting the stuff out and placing it on there. But, you know, and then you've got the color holds with Darkseid's powers. There's a lot of stuff here that was kind of groundbreaking for the printing technology of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we swing over to, when I look at the shadow down in the middle of this page, it always looks like a Batman head to me. Just because of the way the panels break.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so he says, yes, give me the child woman and you may go free, unharmed, and your fellows as well. I have no interest in you, but I must have that child. And so he says, you know, you don't really expect to hide from me within darkness, do you? But so he decides, okay, well, you know, I'll send the master in there. He's going to come in there and get, you know, I'm not going in there.
And there's meanwhile, Shady's like, well, what the hell? It stopped all of your other servants. Why not? Let's go for it.
There's a little tick, tick, tick.
After all, it is my only power, so...
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And he says, no, not a damnable mother box. Now, I didn't know what that meant at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, what a mother box was. I was thinking that that was like some kind of, you know, is that just a common term that I've just never heard of before? I didn't realize what a mother box was at the time. But yes, yeah, so he takes away the darkness, kablam, and he says, I must know what I face. And there it is, Orion and Highfather.
Ooh.
And, and I always remember this line, the I live, Father. And live to hate. So basically, this whole thing is that he's restored this mockery of Darkseid's son to his rightful form, and he gives us a little bit of the setup here. You know, just basically, hey, I'm your opposite number, etc., and the same fates that permitted you to sleep in undying death granted that I might return to oppose you. You know, where there is darkness, there is light. And it says here in the editor's note, anybody who doesn't know the story of the 20th century war of the new gods against Darkseid's apocalypse, trust us, it's too complicated to explain here.
And they're right.
They are indeed right, but it's the neat thing was, like, for me, that sent me off to, like, hey, I want to read about that stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what drove me to it, you know, was basically, hey, there's apparently a really cool story here that I don't know about. So yes, Highfather has protected the women, and so now Orion is going to take out the old man.
Yeah.
And so
eat it, Grandpa.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Eat it, Dad.
So Shady finds the White Witch, and it seems that she's weak, but I got teleported complete with my spacesuit the instant that servant burst into my shadow. But none of this makes any sense. Who is that child? And Kulthum, take a drink.
Hey. Oh, Jesus.
Now, here's the important part, is you got a ton of Kirby Crackle at the bottom of this, and you got a couple of Rock'em Sock'em robots going after each other. Right, so they say, prophecies have ordained that the final battle of chaos and order shall take place in a fire pit. A burning, blasting sore on the surface of apocalypse. Here the father shall face his son he gave to his shall face the son he gave to his greatest enemy and die at his hand. Darkseid feared this for centuries, and whether it will happen now or whether this is but a shadow of the ultimate struggle, only the next few moments shall decide. Meanwhile, the legionnaires have been lifted up by Highfather, and he's basically restoring them. Mm-hmm. Restoring them as they should be, and he says, you know, my power is not what once dwelled within me. You know, Darkseid's had a chance to, you know, kind of rest up and charge up. But, you know, me, I just got kind of brought back. So not quite as powerful. But there are things that we can do. And he says, you know, my power ebbs. But before I go, I shall do what more I can. As Alpha is the beginning, so shall my power seek out those who were first among you. Mighty as they are, I shall make them mightier, and trust that it shall be enough to serve. So a couple of power beams go out somewhere. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll find out in a moment. Meanwhile, there is much more Rock'em Sock'eming, so they do the fight, and he says about, it seems I erred in restoring you to life, my son. He says, restoring? You mean desecrating me, do you not, Father? You stole those cells from me in life and warped them to make a shambling mockery of me in death. No more, Father. Your accursed voice will be still. Wham-thoom! Take a drink. they do some fighting, and it looks like Orion takes him down. And he says, Hi, Father. I have fulfilled the prophecy. But wrong. Because it
not
turns
so
out, hey,
fast.
You know, you're a reasonable facsimile of Orion, but you're not the real deal. And so he disintegrates him, basically. And Darkseid gets up, and his armor has all been burnt off. And When he says, "So, Isaiah, in the end you could not sustain yourself in this undreamed of time. Even High Father has his limits, as have all, save I." And then there's a noise, a whoosh. And it is the Kryptonian cousins, Superboy and Supergirl, come in.
Woohoo!
Oh, yeah. And they got that, a little...
If there was a panel or a page I would want from this, it would be this page.
Oh, yeah. It's a hell of a thing, right? And so you get, yes, the first among. They come flying in, and they've been given the power to ignore a red sun. That's cool.
Yeah.
So they start giving the beat down on Darkseid. And he's getting pissed off. He says, "You know, I'm Darkseid. You know, like basically, I don't have the time for this." So he zaps Superboy with some Omega rays to banish him. Mm-hmm. Hey, see?
Sends him back to the 20th century. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah, see, there you go. So he's been sent away, and, you know, those beams might be used again sometime. Anyway, he says, "I need not even bother with the woman. Her own fear seems to make her vanish as quickly as my power would." But she basically went around the other side of the planet and came up through it. And
how badass is that? Come
on. Oh, yeah. And she basically lays a beat down on Darkseid.
Looks like what she did is she picked him up and threw him back through the hole she came out of, and he's flying out the other end of the planet is what it looks like to me. Which I'm loving
exactly.
Too bad in a couple of years this is going to be reversed.
Oh, absolutely. We're not
pretty much
that.
His exact same image.
Very similar, yeah. And so she's throwing him around. It's like... It's like, do you think Darkseid is a bitch? Do you think Darkseid is a bitch? Because, wow, you got to treat him like one. She lays the smackdown on him and then gives him another thoom, and up he goes flying again. And I
love that Paul gave this to Supergirl. As opposed to Superboy, you know? It's like, oh, well, we're going to let her kind of step up a little bit here, so...
Well, you know, and
nice.
Let's face it, they were heading into having a new Supergirl series as well. But it's just kind of neat that, you know, there was always that idea that she was, you know, she was a bit more powerful than Superboy was.
Yeah. And she's not been around for like 85 issues in the Legion, according to the editor's notes. Yeah. So it's like, okay, let's have her back for a while.
Exactly. But all of a sudden, a little boom tube comes out behind and he grabs her by the face. And squeezes.
This is the claw.
This panel where you got the close up on her eye with his finger kind of squishing right below it, you know, that, oh yeah, that was creepy, you know? And, so he says, you know, this, you know, he explains the boom tube and says that this is pain. I have not done this with my hands in an eternity, child. You should be honored. Mm. How Desaad would have loved this. A shame he is no more. And I'm like, Desaad, who's this Desaad dude? I gotta read this stuff. Then there's much zapping. I believe we have, you know, if we were to sort of go clockwise, it looks like Brainy picks her out with his force shield. We get some heat vision coming in.
It's Sunboy, Projectra,
Wildfire.
Lightning Lad, Wildfire, Starboy, Lightlass. It's the three silk lines that I don't know who that is. So,
yeah, okay. I figured that was some heat vision.
It could be. But I'm trying to figure out on the next. I guess it could be Ultra Boy's heat vision.
Flash vision. Yeah.
Sure. That would work.
Saturday, September 25th is Pac-Man Day on ABC TV.
Yay, Pac-Man!
So there was Pac-Man. There was the Little Rascals cartoon.
Can't wait.
Richie Rich show. The new Mork and Mindy cartoon, as well as Laverne and Shirley with the Fonz. And Scooby and Scrappy plus the Puppy's New Adventures.
Yes, jump that shark Saturday morning. Jump that shark.
You know, I didn't even like that show.
Exactly. So, they're basically, hey, we've got you now. And he says, "You have me? You astound me, children." And Karate Kid jumps at him, and Saturn Girl points out, you know, you're losing, you suck. You can't defeat us. And Karate Kid, he hits
lands
a wall.
Into his force field.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, like Darkseid doesn't even acknowledge him as a gnat. You know, it's...
That's because he's afraid.
He's probably afraid because he doesn't realize this guy can karate chop through time.
No kidding.
This is the beginning of the Karate Kid hate.
He's got him, caught him by surprise, that's all.
Yeah.
He didn't expect him to wuss out with a force field.
But it's okay because it turns out that there was already a plan. And I love this image, the idea of you know, we see the shape of Darkseid's face with what he's seeing reflected in it. Mm-hmm. And just look, it's a great image. And he says, so my powers have waned over the millennium. While they focused on you, they proved insufficient for other needs, and my hold on the billions of Daxamites has ended. I've created an army of billions of super beings, and your allies are leading them to me. Enough.
Yeah, that would pretty much do it. Yeah. Yeah.
What an amazing page that is. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Yes, he says, it appears that there is more to you than I dreamed, youths. You have done that which is beyond imagining. You have shattered the dream of a god. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, it's, they wonder, you know, Scott, you want to take this from Jacques?
Oh, mes amis, can it be the creature surrenders? How are we to hold him?
Bouncing boy says very carefully. Yes. Yeah, exactly. He says, you have won, children of the light. The darkness is fading even as we watch. But remember, the darkness cannot surrender. It is always with you, always on the fringe of the dawn. And the instant you gaze at it in fear, your time will come. Yeah. Yep, so they're like, hey, cool. You know, he vanished and his world disappeared with him. And Wildfire says, hey, don't try and figure it out, Donnie. What counts is that we made him turn tail and run. Wahoo. And then he appears again. Oh, yes. Yes, he says, the wise
Wildfire,
man.
You big mouth.
The wise man does not boast so swiftly, child, for though I'm gone, you shall not forget me. I leave you my curse, legionnaires, doers of Isaiah's work. The curse of darkness growing within you, destroying you from within, and that which is the purest of you shall be the first to go.
Well, now.
And you know, we get led to believe it's one thing, but of course that's not the case yet. So, there we go. They put up a brand new hollow plate for the White Witch. And say, if that doesn't make the White Witch an official member, nothing will. Meanwhile, Ayla comes in to talk to Bryn, and he ends up breaking the hollow plate already. She says, I've been thinking, Bryn, about what happened and about the Legion. And she says, it wrecks lives, you know. It nearly destroyed my brother, wrecked his health, and it's ruining us. Maybe times were simpler when I joined the club, or maybe I'm kidding myself. Memories like that sometimes. But I know it's not what I want to do with my life now, especially not if we're going to have a life together. I'm quitting. If you want me, come with me, Bryn. My flight leaves tomorrow night. And he's, oh, hell. That just makes today. And then he gets hit by the thing as it patoings out. Perfect. So, you know, that's one of the things is like, well, we've always thought of Lightlass as being reasonably pure. So
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and now she's leaving.
Now yeah, she's leaving. The first
that must be the curse, right?
The purest among you will be the first to go. Oh, there it is, and, right there.
And she is Lightlass. Yeah, maybe it's a pun.
Yeah, mm. Yeah. It was. It's one of those great Paul Levitz red herrings, you know. And so you think that that's all sort of complete, and then, yeah. We will get to that. Meanwhile. Brainy and Supergirl are taking a little walk, and he says, you know, hey, so what now? And she says she's going back to her time because the extra power seems to have worn off, and you guys really don't need me, not with Mon-El recovering and Ultra Boy and this new guy, Wildfire. New guy? He says, but hey, we needed you this time. And she says, well, that was different. She says, speaking of different, I'm amazed how relaxed you are, Brainy. You were always so tense. And he said, you remember that crush I had on you from the day when we both joined the Legion? I think I've finally worked it out of my system. And she says, really? What a shame. Here I was starting to think how cute you were. See you around, pal. I love that we got this sort of left on the light moment, you know, after all that's gone on in this issue, all this Sturm und Drang and you know, all, you know, Kirby crackle everywhere, we get a really nice light moment to end on. So he says cute. She did say cute. Quirrell, you may be smart, but you've got to improve your sense of timing.
He's visibly shaking.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, it's just a fantastic moment on which to end. And, of course, next issue, at last, travel back to the early days of the Legion for an untold adventure that reveals why the Green Lanterns aren't allowed on Earth in the Origin of the Universe file.
Dun, dun, dun.
You know, there's just no stopping this. You know, yeah, so, I mean, to my 12-year-old brain, this absolutely fried it.
It was sweet. It was sweet. Yeah.
You know, all these characters making references to stories I'd never heard of, and like Dev M, the Wanderers. This, you know, who are all these characters? And it really led me to a lot of back issue diving.
Still to this day.
Oh yeah, exactly. So there we go. The Great Darkness Saga. Some thoughts on the end of the Great Darkness Saga. Anyone?
It's everything that you want from the denouement.
Yeah.
It has an actual ending.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
and weaves it open.
These days of the constant event cycle, it's refreshing to see a story that actually has an ending.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, because it's interesting, because really when you get back to it, you know, this happened, what, like a year before the Judas contract happened, you know, and the Judas contract was probably one of the first ones where they actually branded it on the cover. You know, this we had it inside. It would say The Great Darkness Saga Part 2. But but the idea of that logo on the cover that tells you what storyline this is, you know, and that sort of thing. This was a definite precursor to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, things like that had been done for years. You know, the Avengers had the Kree-Skrull War and, you know, all these kind of storylines. But this was big.
It's kind of interesting how sort of marginalized the Legion was for a lot of this story, though. Like, because the actual resolution of the story doesn't really happen because of anything they did. Well, I mean, they protected the child, I guess, but although not very well.
Kind of.
Got stolen, yeah.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. It was a story about a god coming back. So, you know, the Legion, like the Justice League, you know, against Darkseid, it's going to be a different thing. And I think that's part of the problems with everyone has with the new gods in the DCU when they interact with the characters on their level. It's, well, isn't Mr. Miracle a god? Isn't Orion a god? Why are they on the same level as, you know, Green Arrow and Black Canary in the Justice League? What's going on here? Why aren't they blowing them away? So I think that's why they got moved to an alternate Earth at this point.
They're
so
like
they
demigods.
Yeah. I always assumed they were like the avatars of these people, you know, of the real gods, so that they were not dumbed down, but depowered a little bit, so they were more on a level playing field. But, you know, Darkseid's a god. You know, that's just the way it is. So.
Well, what I love is that really he didn't make Darkseid their bitch, right? You know, they didn't defeat him. They fought him to
obey.
It was a stalemate, at best.
Yeah,
you know,
at best.
Basically, you know, he decided, hey, I'm not at my full powers. I'm gonna rest some more.
Strategic retreat.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, they fought him to a stalemate at best, and you know, he's basically like, yeah, you know, but I hold the cards, and I got plans, and you know, that's the thing is, we didn't get this thing where it's like, yes, well, they're going to take down a god. You know, it was to show us that the Legion has their limitations. You know, there's amazing things that they can do. And, you know, hey, if anything, they at least got it to a place where they could get, an evil god to stand down. But, you know, it's they're not destroying
it only
them.
Took every single person who's ever appeared in a Ouija book.
Yeah. Exactly. And about a billion that just appeared in the last couple of issues with the Daxamites. So,
but that was a nice touch, too, because Darkseid brought about his own destruction by creating the army in the first place. So
yeah.
That's the way it usually goes with like Darkseid or Thanos. They don't get defeated. They defeat themselves.
Well, it's kind of hubris, right? Because he thought he had absolute control, but he doesn't have the kind of power that he used to have. And so while he was focusing on getting the crap kicked out of him by Supergirl, and then turning that around, you know, the fact is that took his concentration away from controlling the Daxamites. His whole plan predicated on, I can do all of that. I can fight them, and I can take care of controlling this army that will remake the universe in my image. And pretty amazing that again, it's that hubris that ends up defeating him. So very, very cool story. I mean, just an absolute tour de force. I mean, this, you know, let's face it, we knew that Giffen was really cool, and we had seen some great art from him over the last few issues, but you know, this just blew it all out of the water. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know,
Keith Giffen is my hero.
It was all building to this, and so, you know, as we saw those little things develop, as we saw, you know, Giffen start to sort of exert his design sense on the Legion's world, in the headquarters and all that kind of stuff, to then, you know, have this, you know, and to really let him showcase some of these techniques that he'd been working on, that, you know, where he had some older techniques and some newer techniques, and certainly, like, the you can see why they needed to go toward that Baxter format, because, I mean, there's stuff that they were doing that was just like, wow, this is so beyond what the printing process can handle.
True. Very true.
So, love it. Love it. Still one of my all-time favorites.
Two thumbs way on up.
Yeah.
And the good news is, it keeps getting better, Paul.
Yeah, there's more. There's more. We're not done with this stuff.
Yeah.
We'll be getting into, we might even see Darkseid return in some way, shape, or form. We may not know it at the time. You know, there's all kinds of stuff that's coming up, and including some great stuff with the Great Darkness Aftermath.
The Quiet Darkness?
Why'd you have to go and ruin it like that? Come on.
What's wrong with the Quiet Darkness?
It's too quiet and it's too dark.
Yeah. Very quiet. No, but the aftermath to this, you know, what we get a little breather next issue, then stuff happens. You know, there's some big stuff happens, and I tell you, there's just some crazy, crazy good Giffen artwork coming up. A couple of, you know, that cover for 296 always blows me away.
Yeah.
there's just some fantastic work coming up, and we're gonna get into covering all of that stuff.
Woo.
All right, so anyone else got anything else to add about Great Darkness?
Nope. No, I think we've said it all.
All right, then.
Buy the hardcover.
Buy the hardcover,
oh,
yes.
Oh, that's fair, yes. Buy the hardcover. We'll be plugging that when we get closer to time.
Exactly, because if you buy that hardcover, it means that will send a clear signal that there is an interest in collecting this stuff. And yeah. Well worth getting anyway, just because, yeah.
And if we get 100 receipts, we can send Matt off to sleepaway camp. So, you know.
Sleepaway camp.
Sleepaway camp.
I've seen too much Nightmare on Elm Street. No, Friday the 13th lately. I don't want to go to sleepaway camp.
Excellent. I didn't say we were going to give you a choice about it, did I?
I want to come back.
okay, fine. You can come back. Okay.
All right. So comments, as always, are welcome at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. You can also head over to the forum, which seems to be working.
Yeah.
That is forum.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. There may be some hiccups over the next little while, but bear with them. They're getting everything changed.
We have no control over the password problems.
Yeah.
If you have a problem with your password, you send an email to peter@conkgeekspeak.com.
Yep.
Yes. Yep.
He'll hook you up.
Yeah, he caught me trying to re-register, actually. He said, don't do that. I'm like,
yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Sorry.
Exactly. So
it locked me out. What do you want?
Yeah, there's some growing pains. They've got it all transferred over to a new server. So hopefully
bear
that
with
will
us.
Take care of it. So yeah, just it'll take time, but the headquarters is being repaired, as it were. In the meantime, you can also head over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and you can leave comments there on the episode threads. We are also on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast, and we're on the Facebook, where you can find us just by searching for Legion of Substitute Podcasters, and there we are. It's us.
That's amazing. Fantastically amazing.
Indeed. Indeed. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble as we make our way through all this rubble after the Daxamites went nuts. And we're going to make our way back to the 21st century. And we will see you all next week with more Legion-y goodness.
Woohoo!